Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Tired of nicks, cuts, and bumps? It's time to ditch the blade. Nair, the award-winning number one hair removal brand, gives you silky, smooth skin in as little as 3 minutes. That's smooth that lasts for days longer than shaving. Easy to use, blade-free, dermatologist tested, and made for all skin types. Plus, discover our new sensational fragrances that turn hair removal into a whole vibe. Shave less, glow more. Find Nair at all major retailers.
It's still basketball week on the Lights Camera Podcast. And we got a guest on who has something to do with basketball. So it's still basketball week. His name is Zach Harper. At Talk Hoops is his handle. It's still basketball week. Yeah. Hey, folks. It's still basketball week. And we have At Talk Hoops himself, Zach Harper, on the podcast. But more importantly, go buy a t-shirt. Go buy three t-shirts. You can get a God's God t-shirt. You get God's God looking like a snack. You can get a mug that says I'm buttering. You get a baby onesie, just a blank baby onesie if you really want. You can get anything you really want. Oh, and another thing. Go like and subscribe and then unsubscribe and resubscribe and then unsubscribe and then resubscribe. I know that's another podcast thing, but we can do it too. We need to get those likes up, okay? All right. Lights, camera, podcast!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, Episode 10, Basketball Week, here on the podcast. Also, happy Tucci Day, celebrating the life of Stanley Tucci, who is alive. Don't get worried about that. He's still alive. As of right now, as we're recording, he's still alive. So shout out to Stanley Tucci. We'll do plenty of Tucci things during the podcast, I'm sure.
I think we're the only podcast that respect Stanley Tucci and his very underrated career and performances. I think back to some of the more notable roles he had, like Julia and Julie or whatever. I can't even remember the name of the movie.
Well, the first movie we reviewed, actually the second movie we reviewed, was a Stanley Tucci movie because he was in Transformers. So
a Tucci banger, as they say, as the kids say.
Please remember to follow us on Twitter at Lights Camera Pod. And of course, as the intro said, unsubscribe, resubscribe, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Just help bump us up the iTunes charts, because the more you do that, the more fun things we can do. And it happened last week, and look at this. Magic, boom, two guests. A lot of fun. So do that, and of course, you can find all of our merchandise on tpublic.com, and we have a lot more to come there and some more sales coming up. We had a lot of sales right off the bat, and keep it going, guys, because again, we appreciate your support, and we just want to give you a better product to listen to, and It's starting to happen. So thanks again for all the follows and the subscribes.
Most importantly, though, it's basketball week. And our second guest, still sounds stupid, Trill Withers, Mr. Tyler I Am, Tyler from Barstool Sports. Mixtape was on this past Sunday. And now we have Zach Harper on, a.k.a. at Talk Hoops, one of the best Twitter handles, I think, in all NBA Twitter, from FanRag Sports, NBA writer, and a Leverage the Chat podcaster. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be a part of Tucci Day, and as a huge fan of the movie Swing Vote, this means the world to me. And then I like Tyler a lot. He's horrible at drafting Disney characters for a team. the idea that you would put Jiminy Cricket and the T-Rex from Toy Story in a backcourt together just shows you don't understand what you're talking about in regards to Disney or basketball. So I just needed to throw that slander out there.
According to the fans, I had the worst team.
You voted the worst team. I think Mickey Mouse, nobody could get
it. Rightly so. Mouse, I will get to this again, Futuro. I want to make this will be a recurring theme where I tell you that nobody gives a fuck about Mickey Mouse. He is.
Hold on,
I understand. That's really helpful. He's the face of the brand, but no one gives a fuck about him. No one gets hyped for Mickey Mouse.
This is the thing about Mickey, though, is that he's a star. He's going to get star calls.
Exactly.
Yep.
That was Trill's whole thing. You're pulling in the big gun right here. This is the guy.
He's the brand. Be like Jerry West on your team. He's the logo, man. He's
Do you think
the logo
people
of the
would
league.
Pay to see Jerry West play basketball today? Prime Jerry West? Prime Jerry West isn't better than Eric Maynor is right now.
Oh, God. Hold on.
So we can save the fighting for these for our picks for our movie starting fives, because later in the show we will pick our starting fives for any movie ever. Well, I don't think anyone picked Disney. We'll see. Maybe someone picked Disney again. But it, I mean, this one is wide open now. So you can really pick anybody. And so we'll get into that later. We're going to do that after our Thor review. But first up, a couple of quick headlines we got to get to. First up, Disney. It's no longer, I think, going the talks, but it's still possible, potentially buying 21st Century Fox. Well, the entertainment side of it, meaning they would take on some pretty huge brands in terms of like The Simpsons, Avatar, and then, of course, all the Marvel stuff they don't own outside of Spider-Man and Hulk, which are with Universal and Sony. But they would get X-Men and the Fantastic Four. So Wolverine, Deadpool, they get to redo the Fantastic Four. Any quick thoughts here on this in terms of like who you would want to see most crossover with the Disney-owned Marvel entity, the Avengers?
100% the X-Men. 100% the X-Men. But I have to say, it also brought back one of the worst jokes is whenever Disney acquires a company, people always come out and be like, can you imagine the X-Men and like Mickey Mouse in a movie together? And everyone's like, anyway, yeah, I'm here all week, folks.
I was thinking, I was hoping we could get more Fantastic Four movies that I don't want to watch. So I'm really excited about maybe rebooting that franchise.
That's the thing, is that it was kind of a guarantee now they'll do that. Which maybe they do it well, but it's one of those things where like,
don't they have those weird contracts or something where like they need to make one every few years or else they lose a license? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, I mean, or they just kill it off. Like I read an article that I think it was Screen Rant just before we started this saying maybe Disney will finally kill off The Simpsons. It's like, wow, that's like really aggressive.
Whoa, what?
That's how you buy everyone's loyalty. Like we're committed to the 21st Century Fox properties and The Simpsons are gone.
Right, and here's some euthanasia for you.
Yeah, see you later, Homer. So my big thing is I wonder if Hugh Jackman is kicking himself now and going, okay, well, now I'm going to unretire from Wolverine, because he's always expressed interest in playing with the Avengers like on screen. So maybe he's back. I think the big thing, though, and you can maybe throw some thoughts here, I don't know how they would work in the X-Men, because like one of my coworkers and I today were talking about, well, how great if the, not Infinity War, but the fourth Avengers, Avengers 4, the X-Men come in. But that's kind of hard thing to work in. Like, well, where the hell has Wolverine been all these years now in this universe?
He's just been in a log cabin, probably. Like, that's a real easy thing to settle up. Like, he's just been resting. He's big on the woods. So he's just been, like, in a log cabin chopping wood. You get a nice, like, shirtless Hugh Jackman wood chopping montage. And then it's set. And he's like, okay, now I'm in.
Exactly. That's all you need. It's just the first 5 minutes of the movie is him in, like, a 1982 Ford pickup truck loading logs into the back of it. just like wiping his brow and his claws come out. And if Hugh Jackman wanted to come back as Wolverine, I think they'd let him. I bet wasn't it his decision? He's like, I just don't want to be in these crappy movies anymore.
Yeah, I think he wanted to make the one he wanted to make, and that was it. I had the idea where if he does come back, and this plays well into what you guys said, where he comes back and Nick Fury, Sam Jackson's just sitting there going, where the fuck have you been? And then like all these years he shows up and he uses that line. He said, I think in First Class, where he says, go fuck yourself, to Magneto and Professor X.
Do you think Fassbender is like wanting this to happen because he's thinking he could get back into a good movie?
Probably. No, and he doesn't want to be in a good movie. If anything, it made it more evident. It's like his last 10 movies. He does not want to be in good movies anymore. He just wants to be in trash movies that will make somewhat money, which I'm sure is why he's mad at Snowman.
Like the Snowman. Yeah. I don't know.
So Disney, 21st Century Fox, we could see an X-Men and Avengers crossover sometime soon. Let's move to DC quickly, though. Not Justice League. I think we're not going to talk too much about Justice League now until it comes out in, I think, 2 weeks. We'll review it. But a story came out about Aquaman and what's going to be in that movie. And we may have nothing to say here, but it is so funny in my head picturing this. Apparently Aquaman is going to ride sharks. Like characters will be riding sharks in the movie. And all I can think about is the Fonz using a shark to water ski in Happy Days and creating Jump the Shark. Okay. And I can't get that out of my head and how silly that'll look.
Jeff, you are a 50-billion-year-old man, and nothing has brought this more back into fruition than the fact that, one, you enjoy mint in desserts. Number two, you love Nick.
Whoa.
Finally, we have somebody on. Right? Yeah.
Mint chip is a good ice cream.
Mint chip is good, but that's because it's buried behind the flavor of chocolate, which is good.
You can't bury mint. Yeah, mint's not a flavor that can be buried.
No, it's like a fucking zombie. That's why zombies are kind of green. You can't bury mint.
It's a feature flavor, Ken Chek.
Yeah.
But I'm semi-convinced Jeff's a time traveler because of those two things, plus that you just brought up a Fonzie reference in 2017.
Well, I mean, look, it's very on my mind because Arrested Development is always on my mind, and Arrested Development is Henry. I mean, Henry Winkler is very much in it, and he jumped a shark in that show. Really good underrated joke.
Oh, if I may, and I don't know if this is a safe place, but I hate Aquaman.
No.
I hate Aquaman. No. I think it's the, like, and granted, I'm not a comic book guy, like, so I'm probably the wrong audience here because some comic book people seem to really enjoy Aquaman as a character. I think it's the dumbest character. Your superpower is you can talk to fish and you're a lifeguard. Like, it's stupid. I don't care that they brought in a Game of Thrones guy to play him. Fantastic. Like, you look like Steven Adams. Great. That brings in the whole basketball thing for me. But I don't care. Like, it's a dumb character. He protects 70% of the earth. Well, everyone else is on the 30% he doesn't protect, so who cares? Like, he saves a boat. He saves a fisherman. Like, you know, he's in the perfect storm or something. Fantastic. But I think it's stupid. I think it's a dumb character. I don't want – like, if he's riding a shark, cool. We saw that in Sharknado. Like, we've already seen this. Like, I just don't care about Aquaman. I think he's dumb, and we shouldn't make movies about him.
I agree with Zach, and to prove his point, if you go back to the Justice League trailer, the two most memorable scenes of Aquaman is he's in the air – being thrown around by Cyborg, and he's on land riding on the Batmobile. So nowhere is his character featured to where he's the most powerful in the water. They're just banking off of the way that, like, Jason Momoa just looks like a badass, and I'll probably go see it, but the character itself is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, like, he's not even on a boogie board at any point. Like, do something. Because, like, if he was an extreme sports guy who also was, like, a lifeguard, I'd be into that. I like
playing a Point Break Aquaman.
Yeah, although, I mean, the new Point Break, I refuse to see it, and I'll see fucking anything. And it was so disrespectful that they didn't just call that movie, like, Sky Heist or something. Like, they brought in the Point Break franchise. I'm not happy about it.
It's horrible.
Jeff, would you butter if they had a scene, like, in Batman and Robin where they, like, flying in the sky on a surfboard, and they say cowabunga? Would you be in on that?
Are you trying to find that I'm old? Youngest guy in the podcast slandering the older guys.
The best thing they could do with the Aquaman movie is just have him talk to a fish for 2 hours and just make a dinner with, like, My Dinner with Andre type movie out of, like, his conversation with the fish. Just, like, real cerebral type of movie.
It's just him talking to Steve Buscemi, not even in costume. Just like, hey, what's going on?
So Aquaman could be riding sharks. We'll see. We don't want to get too far into it, but I read an article today. I think Mashable predicted Justice League to have, like, a 33% of Rotten Tomatoes. So you asked if it's a safe place, Zach. We're not, like, huge DC guys.
Okay, yeah, I never know.
We like Wonder Woman. We're rooting for it, but 33%. I'm not going to start predicting the score of Justice League until I see it. Because I think, at least, I don't know about you, but the three of us kind of have a little somewhat hopes on this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Suicide Squad in the theater. I'll watch anything. Like, it's not like I have a standard here, but it's I just don't like Batman reboot with Ben Affleck. It's not even a Ben Affleck thing. I just don't think it was very good. The Flash, I guess, interests me as a character. Like, I've never seen the TV show, but, like, I don't know. I think I had a Flash action figure when I was a kid, so I like the suit. I think it's a good suit. Wonder Woman, I like. So I'm into that. But the whole thing as a whole, let's just leave the team up stuff to the Avengers, and let everything else go away.
Well, they actually, too, they came out, the cast said, like, oh, yeah, we'd love to do a crossover with Marvel, which is just
I bet you would. I bet you would.
No shit.
I would love to be in a good, successful movie with good characters and good writing.
I'd love to play basketball with LeBron James sometime. It'd be a great idea.
You're at the YMCA. Like, you know, it'd be great if Kevin Durant just walked through this door and played on our team. 3-on-3 team. That'd be fantastic. I would love that opportunity.
It'd be like one of those things when people are like, yeah, between me and Michael Jordan, we have 6 NBA titles. So, of course, I'd love to, like, go and, you know, have a shoot around with them.
Where do they go? If it's a bad movie, do they just continue on the path, or do they have to start making dramatic changes to everything?
It sounds like it will be a reboot if it's bad. That's because the Flashpoint movie, which making a Flashpoint movie seems insane to me because Flashpoint is like an alternate universe. So if it's successful and people like the Flash, you're now going to get the Flash with all characters that are not in this movie. You're going to get, like, Bruce Wayne's dad as Batman, stuff like that, like really weird shit. But they haven't greenlit that movie, I believe. Or they haven't started because they want to see how Justice League is. So I mean, that screams we will reboot everything if this isn't good. So I hope it's good.
It's gonna make money regardless.
Yeah,
right?
It's gonna do numbers at the box office. So I mean, maybe they can just keep churning them out. But who knows?
Well, speaking of churning out movies, last topic here before we get into Thor, and this has to get Trill going because Trill likes anything with The Rock. some details came out on The Rock's Jungle Cruise movie. Yes, the ride from Disney. And apparently it's going to be much like the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. So let's ask the age-old Lights, Camera, Podcast question. Are you buttering to the Jungle Cruise movie where The Rock is basically going to be the Jack Sparrow of this movie universe?
No question. Absolutely buttering to this. The Rock can be in anything. I'm going to watch it. Love The Rock. But we also got to recognize that he has been in some bad movies as of recently. So I don't know if this would be a good movie. When the Pirates of the – I always say Caribbean wrong. I say Caribbean. Or which one's right?
Caribbean is right.
I've never –
I think it's the Caribbean, but I think it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
If yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, for 20 years I pronounced enchiladas as enchiladas, and, like, everyone ripped me. And I just say, like, I'm from Indiana, so, like, I just mispronounce things. When that movie was first announced and they're like, oh, they're making a movie off a Disney ride, it was ridiculous. And the movie ended up being good. So maybe this movie will end up being good. The Rock is a strong starting point. But the bigger question is who's going to be the dorky little comedic relief character? Because every Rock movie needs a supporting dork character.
Jay Baruchel, that's my call.
Josh Gad.
Zach, what do you think? Are you buttering? You in on this Jungle Cruise idea?
Spread me on toast. I'm in. It's got The Rock. I'll watch anything with The Rock. He saved the Fast and Furious franchise, and I owe him my life. He fought an earthquake in San Andreas. Like, I'm into all things Rock.
San Andreas is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It's a very good disaster movie. And yeah. this is coming off of us reviewing Geostorm last week.
I still haven't seen it. I'm really mad at myself. No, I got to.
I think Geostorm, based on what I know you're interested in, right up your alley.
I watched The Day After Tomorrow in 2012 in the theaters. I'll watch anything.
Ken Jack, what do you think? Also, I can clearly see you were triggered over Trill admitting he's pronouncing things wrong, since that's kind of like your shtick.
I try not to do it on the podcast.
All I was saying was that I think it's very funny how certain people get toasted for that, and other people, they move on very quickly. But I'll move on and be the bigger man. So I'm surprised that Trill is even buttering on this, but I think that Jeff is going to be buttering on, like, the Mickey's Fun Wheel movie that eventually comes out, but definitely not going to be buttering the Jungle Ride movie.
Are we getting a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? Because that's actually my favorite ride at Disneyland.
Well, I mean, the thing is, are they going to start doing a thing for everything? Is there going to be the movie? Well, I guess actually Splash Mountain was a movie.
Churro stand movie.
This summer, 2021, the bathroom in Tomorrowland.
I am buttering out, though. Again, not only just because of The Rock, and I'll butter anything with him in it, but I think if anything, Pirates is any indicator, Pirates 1 was good.
Pirates 1 was great.
Is this a Bruckheimer joint?
I'm going to just say it is. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. Thanks for saying Mickey. By the way, Ken Jack, I know you hate Mickey, but you've now spelled his name wrong on Twitter, and you called it Mickey's Fun Wheel. Everyone knows it's Steamboat Mickey. Come on. Mickey's Fun Wheel.
It's so big. Mickey's – I'm so out on Mickey.
Are you talking about the Ferris wheel that's at the California Adventure?
No, like the original, the original Mickey cartoon where he's on the Steamboat, the black and white cartoon.
And the steering wheel is the Fun Wheel? Is that what Ken Jack is going for?
Mickey's Fun Wheel.
I'm not touching the Fun Wheel.
You guys were worried about the Jungle Cruise movie. It has the same director as the hit airplane movie Nonstop with Liam Neeson. So I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah, that's good. It's going to be fine. Yeah.
That one was so funny. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but Liam Neeson's like an alcoholic detective or something. He's an alcoholic air marshal.
And it. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but it becomes like a 9/11 truther movie about halfway through out of nowhere. I mean, it's a real turn.
Yeah. I got to see this.
It's a real turn.
It's a blast. Really takes a right turn out of nowhere. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
That's been our news. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We will review Thor with no spoilers and then get into some spoilers for Thor Ragnarok.
Sir, the head of 21st Century Fox is here to see you.
Send him on in. I don't have all day.
Hi. It's good to be here. I think we both know why we're here. There's been some talk that your organization's interested in buying mine, so I'm here and I'm willing to listen.
Buy your organization? No, I'm just here to roast you. Look at you, 21st Century Fox, you have nothing. X-Men? More like X-Has-Beens. Fantastic Four? More like Fantastic Boar. You know, I could just buy you. I could sell you anytime I want. I'm looking at you. You're so pathetic. You're a shell of a man. You're nothing.
Well, let me get this straight. You invited me all this way here just to make fun of me in front of my face? This is the most insulting thing that has ever happened to me.
Insulting? Insulting? Why, Iota? You want to talk about insulting? I've been in this business for 80 years. I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
All right, we're back. Basketball week here on Lights, Camera, Podcast, joined by Zach Harper, a.k.a. at Talk Hoops on Twitter. We think most of our followers do follow you because a lot of them guessed you.
A lot of porn butts.
Yes, we have.
Only the quality.
Oh, yeah. The best porn.
Realistically.
There was a week, maybe like a year and a half ago, when the porn bots were relentless and they're replying and they're quote tweeting. Yes, yeah. And I kept sending my wife screenshots of them and I was like, these ladies won't stop hitting on me on Twitter. And she's like, who are they? Who are these people? And I'm like, I don't know. They won't stop. They just love my tweets. You can see it. And eventually I told her they were bots. But she was she was very angry.
So let's roll into Thor. Let's get through the non-spoilers part quick, because I think most people have seen it at this point who like really want to know. So quick, start off with your rating. And Zach, we do it out of 100. You can go on a scale of fives. You can go, you know, 0 to 10 on each scale. I gave it a 91 out of 100. One of the best Marvel movies, I think, ever. It was a blast. A little messy here and there at some parts, but it didn't matter because I thought the director, Taika Waititi, did, I think, one of the best reinventions of a Marvel movie you can do. It was perfect. He breathed new life into Thor. Chris Hemsworth, great. All great. I loved it. 91 out of 100. What about you, Ken, Jack?
Chris Hemsworth, Jeff. I know that shivers you. So Chris Hemsworth did a great job in this movie. I think that one of the best parts about it is that they strayed away from those like Battlefield Earth-ass angles that they did in Thor 1 and in Dark World. You know, when they did all these weird like down facing up on angle shots and shit like that. Just having straight on angle shots of like really cool looking sets with like a really interesting, like colorful aesthetic, I thought was super cool. And the screenwriting was great. And I think the like offbeat humor and everything in it was really fucking great. And like, that was such a great, I think, revitalization of this franchise. Like, maybe one of the best I've ever seen.
What'd you give it out of 100? You gave it a 91 too, right?
91 also, yeah.
How about that? Troy, what about you?
This is actually my first non by five rating. I give it a 92.
Because
I liked it better than a 90 and I liked it less than a 95, right? So it just makes sense to give it a 92. We talked about with like Transformers, these movies, like Transformers is dense, but you don't really know what's going on. Thor is dense, but it's just enjoyable and fun the whole time. I was pretty blind going into this movie. I don't even think I watched the trailer. I didn't follow any of the hype. And when I got into it, I was really pleasantly surprised by, I guess, the witty dialogue and how many jokes and witticisms they packed into it. And I really like that, because I thought one of the bad parts of the first two Thor movies is that they took themselves way too seriously. And in this one, they didn't. And it kind of made Thor a more likable character, maybe less of a stiff and more of a general funny dude.
What about you, Zach?
So I had never seen a Thor movie before. My only knowledge of Thor was the Avengers movies, which I've seen, and Adventures in Babysitting. So I went into it like kind of knowing about him, but not really knowing about him. I give a 91.5.
There you go.
Split the difference between you guys.
Boom.
And I'm like not a comic book movie guy. Like, I don't really like a lot of the comic book movies. I think they're just kind of not hacky. There's always something missing for me. But this one, like, there was humor. I didn't even care about the action that much. I didn't think the action was all that great in terms of like, all right, it seemed a little Game of Thrones-ish, but it seemed that way. And just like guys running at each other with swords and attacking and stuff. And so like, that didn't really do it for me in terms of the action, but everything else was great. The way it's shot and the way it's like presented is fantastic. I thought Cate Blanchett was great. The one thing that bummed me out, and it's not anything, well, I guess it's their fault because they put out the trailer. I wish I didn't know the reveal of like that he was going to fight the Hulk.
Yeah.
Right. Like in that like gladiator sense, because like when I saw it in the trailer, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I think it made it lose some of that once I actually watched the movie itself. So I just kind of wish I hadn't seen any of that going into it. but it was really like, it was funny. It seemed smart. It was like, director is fantastic. So I'm all in on it.
Well, that's my question is, I thought the same, like, you know, man, I wish I didn't know Hulk was in it. That reveal would have been wild. I don't know if they could have marketed it that way because the other two Thor were so poor. I think if the first two Thor had been great, I think you can get away with it because, oh, it's Thor. Let's see Thor. So I think it's kind of like a two-prong thing there. But, I mean, man, you're right. It's I think we all hit it. It's funny. Even if that's not your type of, like, humor, like, oh, okay, like, it's a typical Marvel, you know, kind of cheap humor thing. But I thought
fourth wall-ish and everything. Like,
yeah.
I dug it.
I thought it was funnier than Spider-Man, too. I thought Spider-Man Homecoming was pretty funny. But I thought this one just – what do we think about the improv? Because I felt like this was one of the more successfully done improvised comedies in the last few years. Because ironically, Chris Hemsworth was in another movie that was basically all improv, and that was Ghostbusters. And that movie – man, you could see the improv happening. You could just see them just trying hard for lines. And here, it felt so natural. And it helps that the fact that Tom Hiddleston and Chris Hemsworth have been together as Thor and Loki. So they had a chemistry. But, man, it was so seamless. I thought the improv, for once, it worked in a movie where, you know, script maybe might not have been needed all the time.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Flight of the Conchords and some of the dialogue, which makes sense because Waititi directed and wrote a few episodes of Flight of the Conchords. So he had some experience there. And I think that translated over well. I'm biased on the Ghostbusters front because I saw that Red Letter Media review where they had the outtakes of them trying to do the improv. And when you see the outtakes of improv, it's so bad that you're like, nothing should be improv. Everything should be written on a script. I think Hemsworth does a really good job. I loved a lot of his sentences. He would say something and then he kind of go off and end it with just like a one-liner or joke or something like that. So, you know, when he was talking to Valkyrie, maybe we'll save this for the spoiler section about him appreciating an all-female superhero team and him kind of just digging himself into a ditch. It felt really natural and felt funny. And it honestly felt like a conversation anyone with good intentions, but the wrong words would say. And it's funny when you see a dude like Thor doing that, and it's relatable. Superheroes, they're just like us.
Yeah, I totally agree. The dialogue is just way more natural, especially compared to the first two, where he's like this regal dickhead, and like all of his lines are just like super, like, I don't know, like enunciated, like, I don't know how to
say it. You're right.
Like, very annoying. And like in this, he's just like a regular dude and someone you can kind of empathize with as opposed to like watch from afar. And it felt like you were almost more in his place, like especially with lines like the one Stroll just talked about. You're more like you feel like you're in his shoes at points in the movie, which makes it a lot easier of a watch.
Yeah, I think a good example of that is what we've all touched on here. And Stroll, you said it, is it felt like a conversation, because the first two, it was more like whenever he talked to Loki, he'd be like, my brother this. And like he was very, they tried to play up that Asgard, like, kings and princes type thing. And I mean,
by Odin's beard, you will never reclaim the throne of Asgard, my brother.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt, I don't know, it just didn't seem to fit, especially because, and I feel like, Zach, you know this from seeing him in the Avengers and stuff, he's a lot more conversational in that movie.
Yeah,
like he's funnier in that movie, and he's just not like that in the other two Thors.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard. So I'd asked, like, do I need to see the other Thor movies to see this one? Most people said no, that it's fine, you'll actually like the character a lot better if you don't. So I trusted that going in, but maybe I'm dumb because I don't remember this from the Avenger movies. I didn't know they were brothers. They, you know, hammered that home pretty early. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. So to me, it was like a nice little family gathering.
Any last thoughts here, non-spoiler wise, or do you just want to get right into the good stuff? Because there's a lot of good stuff to talk about that I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Cate Blanchett did a really good job, not just like from her acting, but the visual effects on her, you know, transforming from her hair into, I don't know what you call that, a helmet or a crown or whatever it is. And her and her fight scenes were the more entertaining fight scenes of the movie. So I really liked it. We had Loki, who is a solid villain, but now he's kind of a good guy. Except not really.
You don't know where Loki's going to go. We'll get into that in spoilers. I've got a question. Let's see if we think something happened with Loki. So on the other side of this commercial, we'll get into Thor spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, look on the timestamp on iTunes and skip over this part.
Oh man, I'm so late to this movie. I hope I can get a ticket in time.
Hi, Ken, Jack. Welcome back to AMC. What are you going to see today?
Kind of weird you know my name, but okay. I'll get one ticket to Thor Ragnarok.
What?
Thor Ragnarok?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Thor Ragnarok?
I don't know what that is.
Thor Reconnaissance?
No.
Thor Ragnarokian?
What?
Just Thor. Just one ticket to Thor, please. Okay, here you go, you big fucking nerd.
All right, we're back. Thor, Ragnarok. Non-spoiler review is over. This is all spoilers from here on out. We all loved it. Ken Jack and I gave it a 91. Zach Harper, our guest, at Talk Hoops on Twitter, 91.5. And Trobon's 92 goes off the 5 scale, which I respect.
I'm evolving. You're making me more of a cinephile with this podcast each episode.
So one of my favorite parts, and I want to see if the two of you, Trill and Zach, noticed it, because Ken Jack didn't until I think this morning. Was the Matt Damon cameo early on in the movie?
Love that.
Matt Damon. I'm with you, Zach.
He plays Loki. Again, if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, I find that odd. You're missing out. If you're listening and you haven't seen it and we're spoiling it, you're missing out. So Matt Damon plays Loki in a play on Asgard, like a Broadway production of Loki, like being a hero, because Loki is pretending to be Odin, him and Thor's father, because he's kind of banished Odin to Earth. That happened in the last Thor movie. And it's jarring when you see Matt Damon, but in a great way, because it's so damn funny. And like, he doesn't do anything to really pull him out of the role where he, you know, it's like, hey, it's Matt Damon. It's just, if he's there, he moves on. And it's just funny. It killed me. I can't believe you didn't notice it though, Ken Jack.
Matt Damon. I got to say before Ken Jack, diarrhea is all over the mic. Euro trip. Matt Damon had a movie killing, like movie crushing cameo. And then Matt Damon also freaking pops up in Interstellar when you don't expect him.
Crazy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So Matt Damon loves these cameos. So it was great to see him pop up in that movie. Okay, over to you, Ken Jack.
Yeah.
Now, so one more thing I forgot to add about Matt Damon.
the reason I didn't notice it is because I'm cosmic brain the entire movie trying to figure out what the actual plot is. And so my brain is just thinking, what is actually going on here? Because obviously Odin's acting a little fishy. So I wasn't really paying attention to the play as much as like, okay, what the fuck's really going on here? And then after the fact, someone was like, yeah, Matt Damon loved his cameo. Like, I read that this morning and I'm like, who the fuck was Matt Damon? Because I went through the cast list earlier and I saw Sam Neill had played Odin and Helmsworth's brother, like his Gordon Luke. Gordy Gronkowski of like the Helmsworth. He played.
Is it Helmsworth?
Really? I'm being a jerk.
I'm just triggered, Jeff, and it works almost every time.
The one who's not Thor and the one who isn't engaged to Miley Cyrus, basically.
Yeah, the Marshall Plumlee of the
exactly. Better reference. Yeah. So I knew that they both had cameos because I'd read that after the fact. But Matt Damon, I guess, got like he got the Matt and Billing. He got the worst. Ranking in the IMDb casting part, because I guess he must have been all the way at the bottom, because I almost went through that entire cast list like top to bottom.
I almost tweeted at Screen Rant. I did this for about like 30 seconds, and I realized I was being a dick, and I'm like, I'm not going to do this. But Screen Rant on their front page, which I mean, look, I don't love Screen Rant. A lot of their stuff is clickbaity, but it's good to get movie news there. It's a good aggregate of movie news. They put right on their front page explaining the Matt Damon cameo. One, it doesn't need to be explained. It's a cameo. But right. Two, you put on your front page, anyone going to see it now expects Matt Damon. So if you don't know he's in it, it's a great reveal. How about let's talk about ending, and then we'll get into favorite characters and favorite moments. Two things I'm going to ask all of you. Do we, A, think that Hela's gone for good? Is she dead forever? Because she's technically the goddess of death, and in the comics, from what I have been told, because I don't read the comics, Thanos, who's the main villain in Infinity War, is apparently in love with the goddess of death, Hela. So will she come back? Is she alive? And two, Loki looks at the Tesseract, the blue cube, which was in Captain America and Avengers, which is one of the Infinity Stones. He sees it in Odin's vault, and he kind of stops and stares at it. So the Infinity War trailer that aired at like D23 and Comic-Con, which if you can see it on YouTube, he has that Tesseract and he's giving it to somebody in that trailer. So my question is that like a flashback, or do we think Loki stole the Tesseract? Because he seemed to be up to no good down there, and then all of a sudden he's back on the ship with Thor at the end of the movie. So again, A, is Hela alive, and B, did Loki take the Tesseract, the Infinity Stone?
All right, so I think if I had to, make a preemptive guess at it, I think that Hela's also alive. I think that Blanchett probably would have wanted to sign on for a bigger deal than just being in Ragnarok. And if she knew she could get into like the cash cow that's going to be Infinity War, she would definitely want to be. And if I was her, or her agent, I would make that part of the contract. I also think there's no way that Loki left without the Tesseract, because otherwise that means it's destroyed, because all of Asgard is destroyed. So I think it's definitely there as well. Also, I want to say,
good point. I'm an idiot. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
so, I agree with that.
So I also want to say that if Hela does hook up with Thanos, I think that's a couple I also want to see in real life, is Brolin and Kate Blanchett. That's that swinger couple that, you know, they're like, hey, you want to hook up? And you're like, well, shit, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I hadn't thought about it, but now that it's on the table, you know, you gotta look at the menu. I think, to bring it back to something that's closer to my heart, once Letty came back in the Fast and Furious franchise, anything's possible to me. That warmed my heart. So I think Kate Blanchett's coming back. I think Hela's coming back. It was a fantastic villain. Like, just really well done. She was awesome. It's a cool villain idea. Anyway, the Goddess of Death, that's a cool nickname. I think that should be like Ella Della Don's nickname in the WNBA or something. So I'm all in on all that.
I have to agree, and we'll get Trill's opinion here in a second, but I think the Tesseract point you made, Ken Jack, is – I didn't even think about that. Now, I guess the Tesseract is – like, you can't really destroy the Tesseract because it's an Infinity Stone, so maybe that would be the – like, I guess I could see them countering your point with that. That's interesting to think about. If I guess he did take it.
Looping back to the destruction of Asgard, I think that was one of the funnier scenes, is when he's like, oh, well, the foundations are still there. I think it's all right. And then it's like, boom, and the whole thing just disappears. And he's like, well, nope, that was the foundations. They're gone.
So Trill, Hela, and Loki, does he have the Tesseract? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Hela will be back. In what capacity, I don't know. It just would be really unfortunate to kill her off because it was such a great character. And then the Tesseract is like 100% an Infinity Stone. I don't know if like it was an implied flashback or whatnot, but that would help Thanos get to where he needs to be. If that's like, what is it, the Space Stone or...
Yeah, the Space Stone, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense, and especially with the way the movie ended or the way it implies it's going to go for Loki and Thor, I think that's the most logical outcome.
So let us know on Twitter, folks, at LightsCameraPod. Hit that follow, let us know. Do you think Hela's going to come back, and do you think Loki has the Tesseract, the Infinity Stone, the Space Stone? How about favorite characters here? Let's touch on like one or two more things with this movie. Favorite characters from this movie. I won't steal anyone's thunder because I feel like someone might pick the same one as me, but we'll start with you, Ken Jack.
I think the most unexpectedly hysterical character is Korg, for sure. Yeah. Which I thought out of nowhere, maybe one of the funnier characters, like especially in like a smaller bit role, almost like ever. It was so fucking funny. And it was so simple too. Like there was no like complexity behind it. Everything he said just made me laugh.
When Loki was his like ghost self, and Korg runs up to him after he disappears and goes, piss off, ghost. And he kicks the wall.
Yeah. Oh,
kill me. And it reminded me of, and it's, I think, well, TV's news from New Zealand, but it's that same, if anyone's seen Summer High Tie on HBO,
yeah.
Hilarious show. It's exactly so what good. That reminded me of. It reminded me of Jonah from Summer High Tie.
Yep.
Korg was an amazing character. And it was played by Taika Waititi, the director.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he mo-capped and voiced him. Oh, man. And Korg was easily my favorite character from the movie. What about you, Zach?
I really liked the Hulk. Like, I thought the Hulk was funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the best character, but I really liked the Hulk just because the idea of the Hulk being conversational was just super funny to me. Like, that whole scene where they're, I guess, in his bedroom or something.
Yeah, like he's, like, sweet.
Yeah, he's, like, in a suite or something. And him just, like, joking, like, Thor, go now. And then he, like, runs into that force field or whatever. And he's like, oh, Thor home. Or, you know, just that little thing like that. Like, I just thought was super funny.
But I didn't even think Ruffalo, when they were talking about calling themselves the Revengers, Thor's like, I'm getting revenge. He points to Valkyrie, you're getting revenge. And he points to Bruce Banner, and he's kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of here. I'm just part of it. And that was clearly ad-libbed, and I thought Ruffalo had a really great, I think, fun vibe with it. And it's funny because I think Thor and Hulk, you could argue, were probably two of the weaker characters, I think, when they went into the Avengers 5 years ago. And now they're two of the more liked characters.
So I thought this movie was, in like PR terms, this was great image rehabilitation for both Thor and the Hulk. And I'm with Zach. I got a new appreciation for the Hulk. He just had some clever lines. I like the conversational Hulk. When he was in his bedroom, I liked when he threw, it looked like a big skull or something like that across the room. And then, you know, demanded Valkyrie to stay. And then yep. he had a please to the end of that.
Right.
And then him going after, gosh, I forget the big fire monster. I forget its name. Start with an S, right? Like right at the very end, him just jumping after it to try to beat that ass, and then just getting just getting kicked back. I thought was one of the funnier moments.
And he gets scolded by Thor. He's like, no, yeah. Like, yeah. We'll do it. And he's like, big monster.
It's like, for one time, do not smash.
I love when he jumps out of the ship too, and he's trying to land onto the bridge on Asgard. He's telling Valkyrie, like, you're like, just wait till you see what I'm about, like what's about to happen. And he's still Bruce Banner, and you expect him to land in front of the like the big like wolf, yep. Like dog thing, Hela's animal, and he just smashes down onto the ground.
It looks like his neck was broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he turns into Hulk. Yeah, that was pretty good. But what about my dude, crushing it. And it's made me even more mad he's only going to be slightly in the Jurassic World sequel. Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster.
Yeah, Jeff was great.
Timeless. I mean, he nailed every damn line. He was so flawless.
My favorite exchange was when Valkyrie gets called trash. And like he's like, oh, it's a B word. And the woman says, trash. He's like, what? What? No, no. He's like, that doesn't start with a B. Like, were you just waiting to call her trash? Like, I thought that was so funny.
That other character as well, he's like, no, don't give me the melty stick when he's right. Trying to interrogate. Yeah, oh, so good.
I think the best part about the Grandmaster, it's just Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum. Like, it's not him trying to act as anybody else. They're just like, do your thing. Here's the basic outline of what you're supposed to be saying.
Yeah, he played a quintessential Goldblum character, but it fit really well into the movie. And I got to say, a gigantic hologram Jeff Goldblum is awesome. He worked even better in hologram form.
Well, I'm a big Tim and Eric fan, too. And Jeff Goldblum is great in Tim and Eric as Chef Goldblum. Yep. So that's always going to win me over.
He's so damn handsome.
Yeah,
he is. So handsome.
He has not aged either.
Nope. He's aging. You know, he's aging, but he's making him look better.
I kind of think the blue soul patch works.
Yeah.
I'm not a soul patch guy, but the blue one. I'm kind of in.
I'm a soul patch guy now, man. Just give me some Oakleys and some blue hair dye.
One last character I want to touch on, because I think she is one of the most badass characters in any Marvel movie, and I hope she's in Infinity War. And there's all these things, and I don't want to get into too much, like, social commentary here, but there are fair points of there's not a lot of badass female characters in Marvel. Valkyrie was awesome.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson was great as Valkyrie. Loved her attitude, and that's the type of character that needs to last on. And someone said she should try and carry the Thor franchise in the phase four of Infinity War. Maybe not without Chris Hemsworth, but become a, I think, side-by-side main character, not just a side character.
Well, why didn't she get a name? I never got that throughout the movie. I looked at it on the roster on IMDb. Like, it is, her name is Valkyrie. Like, she doesn't get an actual name.
And she's so part of the Valkyries,
Yeah, she's part of the Valkyries. That's like calling Thor God. Like, it makes no sense to me. And, like, she could have a really cool-ass, like, Asgardian name, like Hafn Thor Bjornsson or some cool shit like that. Instead, you just name her, like, you name her Valkyrie. It's just, like, kind of lame. That's okay, so
her character's name is Valkyrie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my problem.
In the comics.
Oh, whatever, dude. Go off base with the comics. Give her a cool name.
I'm just telling you that. I guess that's why they called her. I mean, I don't know. Let's stick on some Ken Jack anger. Why were you not a fan of some Bruce Banner moments, Mark Ruffalo?
I definitely have to expand on this because my issue more wasn't with the Hulk. I thought the Hulk parts were really funny, like the scenes in the room like we were talking about before. That was hysterical. I think my issue more came with the very first few scenes we get with Bruce Banner. I think Ruffalo's acting, it was sort of weak, and I think it was kind of rough. He's like, what, I've been here 2 years? What? No, it reminded me of what's his name, who's our good friend, yes, but Mark Wahlberg in The Happening, where he's trying to convince the lady not that he's not gonna try and kill her. I'm like, it was just sort of weak, but then he got progressively like exponentially better as it went, like especially like the scene you're talking about, the Revengers and all that, and when they were in Valkyrie's apartment and all that. He got so much better as it went, but that opening scene, like I was like sitting there like, this is really awkward and not good at all, but he got a lot better.
So any closing thoughts here? Because I think it's clear we like the movie. Even that Ken Jack, I know, is not like a main sticking point for you because you gave it a 91. Any closing thoughts on this movie? I'll give mine quick. I thought, again, Marvel movies go as far as the characters that you're given, and they had just great characters, great actors, great characters. They developed perfectly throughout the movie. You liked all of them. This was a slam dunk home run. I've mentioned it before the podcast. It is. There you go.
Yep. Slam dunk movie.
Slam dunk 3-point shot. I've said it before on this podcast. A few things make me happier with movies when something that I have a lot of hype for lives up to it. This one absolutely killed it. Zach, what do you think? Closing thoughts.
I loved it. And again, like I'm not trying to sound cool here. Like, I'm just not really a comic book movie guy. They rarely do a lot for me. Maybe I'm always expecting a little too much from it because I go in wanting to like it, and then it's just a little flat. But I loved it. And one little cool moment that I just kind of geeked out over is when they're like, Thor is going through like, I guess like an introduction video to where he is, and they're playing the Willy Wonka theme.
Yeah, they're playing Pure Imagination.
Yeah, Pure Imagination. I was like, I just thought that was like a brilliant little touch. I like that.
I loved it. Like I said, I didn't have much hype into it just because I didn't follow the production that well. It ended up being one of my favorite Marvel movies. The criticism against it is that it's, you know, these are all formulaic, and I agree, but McDonald's is also formulaic, and I still love McDonald's. I mean, they're designed in a lab somewhere. So I think they got these Marvel movies down to an art. I'm encouraged by what's coming down the pipeline. I think they set the stage for some really cool stuff to happen. I just want them to get to like Thanos, man. Like, I, you know, I kind of feel like that's been building for
only one more
years.
Until then, Black Panthers. That's it. And then we're there.
And that's one I'm extremely hyped for. So yeah. And they did a great job of getting me to really care about the Thor and Hulk characters again. Cause like you were saying, Jeff, kind of cast aside in terms of Avengers go, you know, Iron Man, Captain America were the big two. And then they did a good job of making these characters more likable after being somewhat two-dimensional in previous movies.
This is one of the most visually pleasing, probably if not the most visually pleasing out of all the Marvel movies so far. Such a great use of color. Like, not many of most of the Avenger movies are just like, you know, CGI porn. Like, it's just very, not dark, but like, it's just average. And this one was so visually pleasing. Like, the entire time, I'm just like, I'm very happy and in an uplifted mood, which definitely it helped with like the enjoyment of the humor of it, I think, as well. The lines and the screenwriting and just how fun it was, just it elevated it past almost any other Marvel movie I've seen.
I think the look of it was like what they were going for in Green Lantern. But it actually pulled it off, right? Like, it's like a fantastical world that they just couldn't figure out in Green Lantern, but it worked perfectly in this one.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Anything with Sakaar, every time they went off Sakaar, and again, I like Cate Blanchett, but whenever they went back to Asgard, and despite the fact I like that stuff, I was still like, bring me back to Sakaar. I want to see that world, that planet again, because it was pretty cool.
Like, that planet was basically Twitter. Just gigantic collection of trash with everybody just watching a fight and being entertained by fights all the time.
Right.
I mean, there's no better movie metaphor. Talked about Justice League earlier getting 33%. This is why these movies are going to continue to get 33% is because they take themselves too seriously. These Marvel movies, sometimes they do, but in most cases these days they don't. It's why they're more enjoyable. So just take a note, DC.
And hey, that's hopefully what Justice League does. It kind of fixes what most people, because some people do love them, and I won't discredit them. It's movies. You can have whatever opinion you want. But hopefully Justice League writes itself kind of like Thor did, because the other Thors weren't good. And I get called a Marvel fanboy sometimes, which I'm not. I just like these good movies, but I never liked the Thor movies. And I think they righted the ship here. So shout out to Taika Waititi. Did a great job. The post-credit scene, you see Thanos' ship flying up to the ship that Loki and Thor are on. And from everything that it sounds like, that leads into the trailer for Infinity War that was shown at these conventions, where Thor is in space, kind of, he's hurt, and he slams into the Milano, the Guardians of the Galaxy ship, which, oh man, I mean, talk about getting like some Marvel excitement there. So we should see that Infinity War trailer soon, and it should tie in with this Thor movie. So we all liked it, but guys, it's basketball week, and we got to move off Thor a little bit here, because we got to get into movie starting fives. On the other side of this break, we will pick our basketball team from any movie ever made. We'll be right back on Lights, Camera, Podcast.
The world thought that they were safe. Jack Dorsey today addressed the media about his brand new social media platform, Twitter.
You see, the great thing about Twitter is that you get to curate your timeline, and if you don't want to see certain tweets, you just unfollow them.
But one man, driven to the brink, changed all of that.
People think it's funny saying Trill Ballins, retire bitch, and posting that I read jokes on Reddit. I'll show you. I'll show you all.
All right, we have a tweet here from @Dory. Joe Biden eating ice cream, Obama come collector mans. That's weird. I'm pretty sure I remember unfollowing this account years ago. All right, here's a tweet from Will McAvoy, CSN parody. Donald Trump, have you no decency? Okay, I definitely unfollowed that account. All right, hold on. Who are all these people on my timeline? TBH, just stop. Sexual gifts, Dan Ninen, Peter King. the posts, they're so bad. I can't go on. When the posts begin to take on a life of their own, what will humanity do? Okay, I'm just gonna log in really quick and just look at the news. That's it. I just want to look at the news. I don't want
to
try and find anything funny.
Figure out how we
what is
get
this?
Them to have
oh my God!
Go to the
no!
Polls.
No! Tweet storm, summer 2018,
Milwaukee. I asked a restaurant host, "God, did you hear about Robin Williams?" The host said, "No." I said, "Died. He killed himself. Thought he would cry."
All right, we're back. Let's Camera Podcast, Basketball Week, joined by Zach Harper at Talk Hoops on Twitter. And guys, this is the one right here. When we came up with this segment, it was one of the dumber things we thought of, but we were going to make it happen eventually. And the Disney one was well received, and now this one, it's opened up to many interactions and thoughts on Twitter. Very excited to get this out to the world and see what everyone thinks. Starting five characters from any movie ever made. Here are the quick rules. They don't need basketball skills. I'd actually venture to say, don't pick a basketball player. Don't pick Michael Jordan from Space Jam. Don't pick Air Bud. They can't use weapons.
Classic basketball player, Air Bud.
They can't use superpowers to score or steal. Can't use any of that stuff. But they can have heightened abilities. So, like, the Flash, while he can't be the Flash and, like, appear on one end of the court and then on the next end, like, a second later, he's still very fast. Like, he's the fastest guy in the league.
Still like John Wolf, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like a 99 in NBA 2K18.
And, right. People yelled at us for not picking Elastigirl from The Incredibles. One, that just shows me you didn't listen to the podcast, so you outed yourself. But two, Elastigirl can't elasticize from one end to the other, but she still has good reach. You know, she's like Durant. She's going to be long, or, you know, Giannis. So, again, it's heightened abilities despite not using powers, and tall characters are shrunk down to 7'7", a.k.a. Manute Bol, tallest player in NBA history. So, you know, you can't have, like we just talked about, Thanos, who's going to tower over people, or other, you know, larger-than-life, like comic book science fiction characters who are taller than the arena themselves. Those are the ground rules. We'll start it off with – we'll go in order here. We'll go Ken, Jack, Zach, Trill, and then myself. Start it out, Ken, Jack, who is your point guard for your movie basketball team?
So my point guard, it actually relates pretty well to our movie review. I picked Heimdall? Heimdall, right?
I don't know. Do we want to tell you?
You tell me.
I picked Hyman as my point guard for the team. Because he's almost omnipotent in his vision, he has the best court vision you could possibly ask for. He can see all and he can hear all. So he is quite possibly the most ideal point guard you could ever have. In addition to having the super strength and super abilities that Asgardians have, I guess that could apply to basketball.
So Idris Elba's Heimdall is your point guard?
Yes.
Heimdall. Okay.
It's okay.
Shots fired there. Zach, who's your pick for point guard?
I need a leader. I need someone who knows how to run a group. I need someone who is very skilled and has a great agility and great reaction time. I'm taking Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ken, Jack, that's an actual good.
You're a well known TMNT like super stan for no reason. So enjoy your sewer turtles, bitch.
It's the age difference. I don't feel like kids your age appreciate the TMNT the way I do.
Damn straight, I don't.
And I'm talking Leo from the first movie, not this original Michael Bay bullshit.
The alien alligators or whatever.
Right, exactly.
That's good. All right, so Leonardo, the Ninja Turtle.
I want to circle back on that. I think that Rajon Rondo kind of looks like a turtle. So now I'm putting this together. I already like this pick. So I'm reversing. I like
it. It's backpedaling because he went after the guest. Okay.
I didn't construct my team the same way you guys are constructing your team. I'm creating the most hateable team. I want like the bad boys of.
You always go for entertainment value. I respect that.
Yeah. I'm a showman, but not like that asshole P.T. Barnum.
I'm in on this. Fuck P.T. Barnum.
Yes. Yes. Fuck P.T. Barnum. Yes.
We have a very anti P.T. Barnum stance on this podcast.
We're very anti-circus. Very anti-circus.
Oh, yeah. Hate circus. They're trash. My team is the most hateable team. It's the bad boys. And when I went with hateable, I'm going with annoying. Like just players you're going to be annoyed by. So these aren't hateable characters like what was the one you threw up? Billy Zane from Titanic. Hal, was that his name? Right. It's not like that. It's just like, oh my God, I can't stand these guys. And my point guard is Pistachio Disguise from Master of Disguise.
Because he is
maybe one of the most annoying characters from cinema of all time. And not only is he has got different forms. He's versatile. He can be annoying all over the court in different ways. That's my point guard.
I can now see him dressed up as the turtle in the Turtle Club. One of the worst Adam Sandler verse movies, by the way, Master of Disguise. I can see him going up against Leonardo now. So, Trail, you're going with the most annoying team. We may have to mark that on Twitter tomorrow, just so people know, because they may vote for you in that sense. So, Pistachio Disguisey, Dana Carvey for Master of Disguise. My point guard, look, I didn't go with speed here. Yesterday, I picked Dash from The Incredibles, and I went with speed. But I didn't like the size, so I went with a little better size. I went with someone who's indestructible based on every movie he's been in as this character. And if he knows the court like he knows the street, his vision is going to trump anything Heimdall can do. That's Dom Toretto. Dom Toretto is my point guard.
Whoa.
Because the vision to drive, if he can drive with that type of vision, he can pass a basketball and have vision. And he knows the street better than anyone. He'll know the court. Like a bowler knows the lane. And we've seen it. You can beat him with any type of weapon. He's still going to survive. If he can attack the paint, no. In this current NBA, he's not going to get beat up when he's driving to the hole in the playoffs.
Shit.
Plus, when he drives to the hole, he literally drives to the hole.
And talk about marketing. I live my life one bounce pass at a time.
He doesn't have teammates. He has family.
Yeah, exactly. Camaraderie right there.
Yeah.
So Dom Toretto is my point guard from Fast and the Furious. He's listed at 6 feet tall.
Ooh, don't know about that.
I know. But hey, he's indestructible.
That's,
you know?
For sure.
That's what the platform shoes.
Ken Jack. Shooting guard. Who's your two guard here?
So for my shooting guard, I figured who on earth is better at shooting guards than John Wick? So I picked John Wick for
there
my
you shooting guard. I like that.
Super athletic guy. He's got a lot of really cool Krav Maga moves, which I'm not sure if he's legally allowed to use on the court. But he's very sneaky, agile. I think he could. He's good at shooting. He's the ideal shooting guard.
I'll back you up there. One of my characters, I also factor in the fact they have really good moves. It adds into the agility factor, and they're like, you know, quickness. So I respect that. So John Wick is your two guard.
I wasn't going to pick him, but now I still believe in my system.
Okay. All right, Zach, so who's your two guard?
This pick is so revolutionary that my dog is freaking out at an empty box that's on the counter right now, and I don't really know how to stop this. So you may hear
what's in the box.
All right. Shooting guard, I need someone with no conscience. I need someone who's a little too dumb to know if they screw up. I need someone, again, skilled, highly agile, Michelangelo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh,
I like it. He's a real party guy.
It's like a J.R. Smith type, right?
You have some LeBron, Dwayne Wade chemistry here. You have two buddies.
Two guys who know how to play together, exactly.
Wonder who small forward will be.
You need to find out.
You have some real chemistry here, like the new NBA where friends team up. So I like that and I respect that. Trill, who's your two guard?
My two guard is this is a sad guard, not a shooting guard. It's PETA from The Hunger Games, who's the most depressing character in cinematic history.
I just want to punch your team in the face right now. Oh my god.
Just really kind of a downer. I mean, like, his character is necessary, but you just don't want to see him out the court just moping around. He's calling for the ball, but he doesn't really want the ball all that much. He just wants Katniss's affection. That's all he wants.
Oh man, that's a very annoying team. Is it? Wait, question, because I got to make the graphic for Twitter. Is it the PETA from the first Hunger Games with the really bad haircut?
What was it? The Catching Fire one, where they're on stage being interviewed by Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, and happy Tucci Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Tucci Day. And, like, however he's dressed up, like, I guess elegantly or like a prince or something. He looks so punchable on stage. So that's the one I would prefer, but it's not my team.
Plus
his name is PETA, which, like, it's really conducive to a big chant, like, taunting him. Like, PETA, he would cave into that really easily and just start crying on one of the Gatorade chairs.
My only issue with your pick is you should have saved him for small forward, because this would be the ideal comparison role to Scottie Pippen, who also gets cucked in the future.
By who? Future?
By actual future.
Oh, that's right.
Ken Jack's got one line every episode.
The only movie podcast that's brave enough to dive into Scottie Pippen's romantic life.
I actually kind of went along the same route as Zach did in terms of having some camaraderie here. And you mentioned family. I want the LeBron and Dwayne Wade angle. So Dominic Toretto, his shooting guard, Luke Hobbs, the Rocks.
Ooh, wow. I like that.
Great size too, 6'5". And another guy who's basically indestructible. I mean, he crashed an ambulance into a helicopter, got out of the ambulance and ripped out a turret from the helicopter, picked up the turret and shot down a drone, I think.
Or that'll cliche.
I got it wrong. He drives the ambulance into the drone, then rips out the machine gun and takes down a helicopter, I think.
So how have these movies not won a best original screenplay?
All that movie did was make $1.5 billion worldwide.
Yeah. So I like the chemistry. That's really what I'm going for here. He's got the size. I built a pretty bigger team yesterday, my Disney team. That's what I'm going for here. Dominic Toretto and Luke Hobbs, my first two.
He's kind of built like if PJ Tucker had diabetes too.
It's a beefy ass backcourt. You got Baron Davis and Raymond Felton side by side.
Yes. Yeah. It's not your average looking backcourt. And again, we're not going for speed though. Again, these Fast and the Furious characters, they somehow always keep up on foot. So
they can go fast. Exactly.
Deceptive. Ken Jack, you're next. You have Heimdall from Thor and John Wick from obviously John Wick so far. Who's your small forward?
So this one took more struggle than anything. And the more I'm building my team, I'm going off base from you, and I can't really factor the height into this because I picked Luke Skywalker, who I'm pretty sure is 5'8 or something.
Yeah, Mark Hamill's not tall.
Because who's better at defending the wing than Luke Skywalker? And I will say nobody.
Dang it.
He's an X's and O's guy. What can I say? Continue and move on to Trill now.
Trill, who's your small forward?
My small forward is Napoleon Dynamite. Got a little more size on him. Right, still an annoying movie character. Him and PETA would probably team up well and be a really good duo. So I like Napoleon in the small forward role.
I see. I want to see this team. I want to see how badly they get dunked on. Zach, who's your small forward? Are you gonna go against the grain and not pick a turtle, or is the chemistry gonna build?
Well, I like switchiness. I like everyone being about the same size. That way they can defend all positions. This person, I feel like a small forward needs to have a little bit of attitude, needs to be very skilled. Raph, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is my small forward. And I think he is the perfect kind of just do-it-all type of guy. He's a little more Matt Barnes-ish than I want, but that's my small forward. And these guys, again, they know how to play together.
Exactly.
I hope your last pick is a William H. Macy character or something like that.
It's William H. Macy from The Cooler.
Just four Ninja Turtles and William H. Macy.
So I went with some deceptive size again for my small forward pick. I don't think many people know how tall this character is. But this character, again, I'm going for the indestructible factor. And the fact that, like John Wick, this character knows some skills. She's got some martial arts skills that you would never expect. She's also very versatile. She can do more than just shoot. And that's evident by the fact that she's in many different types of movies. Horror movies? Comedies? My small forward? Madea.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Tyler Perry's 6'6". Madea is... She's got the size. She's got the size. And I just... Again, the same martial arts skills that John Wick uses to really... I think slash the hoop. She's she's not LeBron size, but I like Madea at a small forward. So, Ken Jack, we'll go back to you. You have a small team compared to mine. So, who's your power forward? You need some length now.
Oh, I got length. So for my power forward, I picked someone who once put up this stat line in a game: 105 points, 45 rebounds, 32 assists, 37 steals, and 39 blocks. And that is Brendan Fraser as Elliot Richard in Bedazzled. The ultimate power forward at 6'10". So his meat is dumb tiny, but that stat line is undefeated.
Yeah. That's shit.
Oh, God.
All right, so you got some size there at 6'10".
Well, not all size, but some actual height, yes.
Trill, power forward.
Power forward. I not only need someone with size, but also someone who is a horrible character and a horrible addition to a franchise. Somebody who at every moment on screen makes you cringe and wonder why the actor isn't doing something more entertaining with two already great characters he's established. At power forward, I'm starting Fat Bastard from Austin Powers.
Oh, God. That's good because you need some shit humor. From the team.
We got Pistachio, we got a Dana Carvey character, and we got a Mike Myers character on this list. They're teaming up with Napoleon and PETA, so I'm feeling good about it. And I can pretty much say that in the next couple picks, you guys can guess who my center is.
I only have one issue with this pick, and it should probably be you should probably have Fat Bastard as shooting guard, considering the amount of butt play that goes into Fat Bastard.
Actually, wait, I think I may have an idea of who you picked, but I'm not going to say it. Zach, three Ninja Turtles on your team, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael. Who's your power forward?
I'm not going to do what you guys think I'm going to do here. I need someone who's strong. I need someone who can kind of like anchor the defense if needed. Well, actually, no, Donatello did that because he had a bow and he was really able to, like, you know, kind of be a tough guy while still being very intelligent. He can call out the defensive coverages in a pick and roll. So, yeah, and all these guys, again, they know how to play together. I'm going Donatello, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's a commitment here.
You're never going to guess my center.
You're the Sixer. You trust the process here.
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing how you were able to draft the all the players from the same family, man. This is like the Gronkowskis being an entire backfield in New England.
Exactly.
So my power forward, I got to go size again. The greatest stretch four of all time. And I'll tell you this, he's not the tallest player on my team. I originally was going to pick Pennywise the Clown because Pennywise can grow to any height possible. But you know what? Fuck clowns. I don't want a clown on my team. Stretch four, 7'2", Chewbacca.
Wow.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Chewbacca, obedient as hell. You know, he's going to listen to the coach.
Daddy.
But when you tell him to destroy, he will destroy. Yeah. He'll rip people's arms out. So Chewbacca, he can stretch out there. I'm thinking of more of a Channing Frye role for Chewbacca, but a better rebounder.
Well, Chewbacca sounds like Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, that's, or Serge Ibaka, but better at threes than Serge Ibaka.
My only problem, Chewbacca's slow as fuck.
That's, Channing Frye's pretty slow.
Yeah, it's the Channing Frye role. He's a trailer. I'm telling you, my team is not about speed. You're not going to score on my team, so it doesn't matter.
He wants to just throw down a dunk and go.
Exactly.
Exactly. Chewbacca sound.
So
that's definitely Chewbacca.
Sounding exactly like Chewbacca to me. That's
I want him throwing down a dunk on Goofy now from yesterday's episode. Yes. Last episode.
Chewbacca. You didn't have to slam my ass in the paint. My son Max is watching.
Pointing at him.
It sounds like the drunk dad from Varsity Blues, who's like hit the can off my head.
So Chewbacca's my power forward. Ken Jack, round it out. Let's name your team here quick. Point guard, Heimdall from Thor. Shooting guard, John Wick from John Wick. Small forward, Luke Skywalker. I mean, literally small forward. He's like under 6 feet tall. But he's Luke Skywalker from Star Wars. Power forward, Elliot Richard, a.k.a. Brendan Fraser from Bedazzled. Who is your center? Round it out. Who's your big guy? You need some length here.
I got some good length on this one. I have somebody who no one is more familiar with the hardwood, and that is Treebeard from Lord of the Rings. And he is somebody who quite literally knows how to open the floodgates, as we can see. So he's a good scoring center, I think, that can defend the paint pretty well.
That's a good pick. That is length. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to score on you.
I have, like, the best – I think I have a very good – again, from the last episode, a very good Grizzlies dynamic going on, especially in my front court.
So, Trill, round it out. Who's the last annoying character for you? You have Pistachio Disguisey from Master of Disguise, PETA from Hunger Games, small forward Napoleon Dynamite, power forward Fat Bastard from Austin Powers, and your center is?
Look, when we're talking about my center, we're talking about a guy with a lot of length. We're talking about a guy who can talk some trash. We're talking about a guy whose presence is just so annoying that he just ruins movies. We're talking about a guy who started off from humble beginnings, who rose to be a senator in the Galactic Senate. We're talking about Jar Jar Binks starting at center for me. I had an original team of most hateable movie characters, and some of them, like I said, were Billy Zane and Titanic, Hans Landa and Jenny from Forrest Gump. But I went with like most annoying rather than like characters you're supposed to dislike. So it'll pay off in the end because, look, I'm going to make your guys' teams look good. We're going to make some money. I'm going to bring my guys in. You're going to have Chewbacca dunk all over Jar Jar Binks. Just have Fat Bastard fart all over your face. It's going to bring some intrigue, okay?
I like it. I can think Donatello and Chewbacca just running up and down the court, taking out Fat Bastard.
I like it when they dribble up and down the court, just like the song says.
Basketball week here on Lights, Camera, Podcast. Zach, your final pick for your movie starting five, your center pick. You've got Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, and Donatello so far. How you round this one out?
So my idea was, you know, JaVale McGee had great plus-minus numbers, great net rating numbers, on-off-court numbers when he was on the Warriors last year. I mean, he's still on the Warriors, but as a Warriors, but like all of a sudden, like they really couldn't do anything wrong with him. And he's kind of, you know, just lanky and dopey and everything. And so my pick was going to be Jar Jar Binks. That was going to be my guy, But I'm going to pivot here because I don't want to have the same person or same being. So in the same vein, kind of dumb, very lanky. This guy doesn't move as well. I'm going Groot.
Groot. Okay. So Ooh. So not obviously not baby Groot. Tall Groot.
No, tall Groot. Yeah, baby Groot can get the fuck out. I don't like kids.
I thought Krang was going to be the center. It's got a good brain in between his rib cage and crotch.
No, the Adam Silver right now is in really into the marketing of Treebeard versus Groot. I think that is incredibly intriguing.
You can get like an Earth Day promotion behind it, you know, Go Green Week, all that stuff. Like you really, there's a lot going on there.
He's doing all the recycle commercials, but he's still saying I'm Groot, so it's kind of hard to understand. Yeah,
he never gets injured. Like he gets injured and things just grow back. So I'm not worried about like health concerns or anything. The rest of the guys can switch everything on the perimeter. So like you could, it doesn't matter what pick plays you run against it. Like I got Ninja Turtles who are all the same body. They can defend anything.
So what happens when your team plays Jeff since Jeff has Groot's voice on his team?
That's true.
Oh, that's a good question. I actually think Groot has a better delivery of his lines than Dom Toretto does of his.
That's actually true. I think there's more emotion behind
More emotion, right?
That's a good point.
So my last pick, my center, I have to go very tall as well. I'm glad Ken Jack went with the Lord of the Rings reference because I'm going to dip into Harry Potter. And look, I had to go ahead and find the most mystical giant possible, and it's not Hagrid. It's that very tall giant woman from Harry Potter.
Oh, Maxine. Whatever.
Madame Maxine. She's 7'7".
Ooh.
I mean – you can't beat that with my team because I have Dom Toretto at point guard, Luke Hobbs at shooting guard, Medea at small forward, and then my power forward and center position. I mean, this is Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. Chewbacca and Madame Maxine from Harry Potter, 7 feet tall. I don't know how you're going
to
beat that.
I'd like to announce a trade.
Uh-oh.
Groot has been traded to another team for Super Shredder from the second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. That's our center.
Kevin Nash.
There's a good size there. There's a little bit of controversy within the team dynamic because these guys have not gotten along in the past. But Super Shredder, final roster.
So that's your team. Super Shredder is at your center, a very Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team. Trill, you went with an annoying team. That was your pitch. Pistachio Disguisey for Master of Disguise. PETA from Hunger Games. Napoleon Dynamite. Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. And Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars. Ken Jack, your point guard, Heimdall from Thor, shooting guard John Wick, small forward Luke Skywalker, power forward Elliot Richard from Bedazzled, and center Treebeard from Lord of the Rings, who will max out at 7'7".
That John Wick pick is so good.
Joker says because he's good at shooting guards.
Yep.
Ken Jack does win for that.
That
pissed me off.
Super Shredder.
I don't know. The whole Skywalker defending the wing thing, I didn't like that. I think that's a minus.
You gotta take the good at the bad.
Super Shredder maxes out at 7'7" as well. Just worth noting. I have Dom Toretto at point guard, Luke Hobbs at shooting guard, Medea at small forward, Chewbacca at power forward, and Madame Maxime from Harry Potter, 7'7" at center. By the way, I just want to note that I went above and beyond. I picked a coach because it's going to lead into our next segment. My coach is Benjamin Gates from National Treasure.
Oh, what a pick.
If you can steal the Declaration of Independence, you know how to run a couple out-of-bounds plays. And then my sixth man is going to be Bob Lee Swagger, a.k.a. Mark Wahlberg from Shooter, because of the same way that Ken Jack goes, he's a sharpshooter. So
I don't know that you guys will be able to guess who my coach is. It's Splinter.
Were we supposed to pick a coach? I didn't pick a coach.
No. But I'm just trying to go above and beyond. If you have an annoying coach, though, can you have one on your tongue?
I'm trying to think.
Little Nicky or something?
Yeah, Little Nicky would work pretty well, although he's kind of a
– Jill from Jack and Jill.
Oh, God.
What about Al Pacino from Jack and Jill?
Duncan
the basketball. It's basketball.
Oh, yeah, basketball. Yeah. I think Duncan is your coach.
See, we thought of this theme so well.
Shit, I really do have to pick a coach now. I don't know. I got to think it out a little bit more. Maybe Nick Fury. I don't know why.
Now we'll give you time. We have a quick commercial break, and then we have a real fast little ranking segment because our guest, Zach Harper, is, I think, the biggest Nick Cage movie fan there is. On the other side of this break, we will rank our top five favorite, not best, Nick Cage roles and then close out the 10th episode of Lights, Camera, Podcast here on Basketball Week and Tucci Day.
We've got a real treat here tonight in Oklahoma City. The rare pregame edition
of Shaqt and a Fool.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I know. And it's sponsored by Hotels.com.
Shaqt is about
and
to make fun of some people.
Shaqt and a Fool.
Fisher.
Shaqt and a Fool.
Sing, Derek.
Shaqt and a Fool.
Derek can't sing.
Shaqt and a Fool.
I didn't know what I was singing.
Number one.
Nick Cage, National Treasure.
I'm gonna steal it.
What?
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Number two,
Nick Cage, Con Air.
You a free man.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Number three,
Nicolas Cage, Matchstick Men.
Sir, please wait your turn.
I know, but this is an emergency.
Hey, buddy, ever heard of a lie?
Hey, have you ever been dragged to the sidewalk and beat until you pissed blood? Listen, I'm sorry. I really need it. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
These are supplements.
What?
This packet contains supplements, sir.
No. My doctor gave those to me. They're Prefect.
They're supplements, sir.
Bullshit, man! Prefects!
Supplement.
Prefects!
Aisle 4,
Prefects.
Sir.
Prefects!
Level 4.
Nick Cage again. Vampire's Kiss.
You just put it in the right file. According to alphabetical order. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z! Huh? That's all you have to do!
Number five.
Nicolas Cage. Wicker Man.
What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! My eyes! Ah! Ah!
Sorry, Commissioner. Oh, yeah. Chuck told me to do it.
Yeah, okay. Oh,
that was number
Chuck,
one.
Chuck, I mean to tell you, that's it wasn't me,
that was
Chuck.
That was a bold move.
Chuck is the executive producer,
yeah, okay.
And he signed off on it.
Yep.
We're back on Lights, Camera, Podcast. It's basketball week. We're joined by Zach Harper at Talk Hoops on Twitter. And happy Tucci Day, everybody. Somewhere, Stanley Tucci is out there just being a Tucci man.
Tucci.
Ken Jack, you had a few seconds to think about who your coach would be. Who's your coach of your movie basketball team?
You know, the more I was thinking about it, I really want someone who's got a lot of fire behind him, someone that can galvanize my team because some of them are a little bit more passive. I want like almost like a Bobby Knight type guy. And I decided to go with Will Ferrell's character in Kicking and Screaming.
There it is. Will Ferrell, the best creation, I think, from this podcast yet.
That should be my new parody account.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
That might have been the hardest I've laughed yet on this podcast, like in terms of not like a random moment.
I've tweeted it since. It broke my brain like you would not believe because like the day after we recorded, I was explaining it to somebody and I said it wrong again like five times in a row. Like it doesn't – the synapses in my brain are permanently fused to pronouncing it as Pharrell.
We love it though, Ken Jack. It delivers the humor. So top five Nick Cage roles, but your favorite Nick Cage roles. We don't have to elaborate too much here because, you know, we really put in a lot of work in that last segment. But just go down your list from 5 to 1. We'll start out with you, Trill.
All right, 5, National Treasure. 4, Lord of War. 3, Face Off. 2, Adaptation. And 1, Con Air. Pretty basic list. I mean, it's a basic list. I'll admit that. National Treasure, fun romp, ridiculous premise associated with Nick Cage. Lord of War, actually a pretty good movie. It's a very Nick Cage role as well, and he plays like an anti-hero of sorts, which he's good at. Face Off, because it's just over the top ridiculous from concept, both the execution. Adaptation, because it's a good serious Nick Cage role. And then Con Air, because it's such a ridiculous concept and really set the stage for some of his later works. I mean, he plays a guy who got sent to jail for getting into a bar fight because he was too dangerous as a soldier, and then ends up killing a bunch of people on a plane and crashing it and just walking away and reuniting with his daughter. Pretty cool. Good movie.
His daughter, who he's never met.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, a little bit of suspension of disbelief. Also, like, cool fun fact is they filmed that, like, outside the Sands in Las Vegas right before they tore it down. So I think they actually, like, effed up the Sands a little bit because they were going to demolish it anyway.
Ah, that is a good fun fact. Zach.
Narrowing it down to five is tough. Number five, I'm going to go with the movie Next. It's on Netflix. I have encouraged a lot of people to watch it. I think I've given quite the bump to Netflix in terms of just streaming that movie. It has the most infuriating, like literally the most infuriating turn in a movie. You like, it's about 90 minutes in to, I think, a 100-minute movie, and the twist happens, and it basically makes you wonder why you watched the movie. And it truly ruins the movie in every single way. So that's like my favorite Nick Cage experience. But not the best movie, just my favorite experience to have other people.
Favorite, so that's fair.
Know, other people to go through. Number four, Wicker Man. He punches someone. I'm not advocating violence against women, but he runs up to a woman on this island and punches her while wearing a bear costume. It's a great experience. I mean, you really got to see it. It sounds awful as I say it. Not even a top five ridiculous moment in that movie. That's how crazy that movie is. Number three is Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes, I think it's legitimately a good action thriller.
I agree.
It has the longest like single shot scene, I think, in movie history or something like that. Like, or maybe it's opening scene. But it's a lot of like POV memory type of cutscenes and stuff that I think actually really works. His character is ridiculous. It's Atlantic City. Gary Sinise is in it. It's a boxing conspiracy movie, so it's really good. So I'm in on that. Number two is Con Air, just one of the best action movies of all time. And then number one is Face Off, which I actually think is brilliant. Like the way that he portrays himself as John Travolta portraying himself as this character, I just think is one of the best acting performances I've ever seen. I say that wholeheartedly. It is legitimately great acting. He should have gotten an Academy Award. I don't know who won it that year, but it should have been him.
Super creepy. Like, real he's super creepy, creepy. Oh, yeah. In that movie.
Yeah.
Well, who would be a good modern day equivalent to put in those two roles? Like sort of B, C level actors to throw in it.
I could see I don't know. I could definitely see Michael Fassbender being in a movie like that, though. I will say that's the trajectory he's on.
Maybe like Michael Fassbender and like Colin Farrell.
Michael Fassbender.
I would like that.
Michael Fassbender and Josh Peck.
Josh Peck. I like that list, Zach, though. So any listener who wants to dive into some Nick Cage movies, I'm telling you, please, trust that.
Please watch Next. It's on Netflix. It's going to take 100 minutes of your life. You're going to want them all back, but just please watch it.
I'm going to check it out tonight.
I've seen it. I have to go back again. I don't think I appreciated it enough. That's a good suggestion. Ken, Jack, what are your top five favorite Nick? Again, I'm emphasizing favorite. We're not saying best. Favorite Nick Cage roles.
Yeah, so number five for me is the movie Knowing, which I don't know if any of you have
seen. Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. That
so
movie.
This movie was actually bad because my girlfriend at the time was obsessed with it. And she's like, you got to see this. She's like, you got to see this movie. It's so good. It's so it gets this gets better. So she's like, you have to sit down and watch this with me. Like, please, I'm begging you. And I was like, all right, damn, I'll do it. And I sat down and watched it and basically ruined it for like 120 minutes straight. Just sat there blasting it, and it ruined the entire movie for her. And this just points to how much of a shitty person I am, but I enjoy that experience, and it's like a very happy memory for me, which is probably why we're not together anymore. So next I have Con Air, which was, like you've all said, it's like one of the better, most ridiculously conceived action movies ever. Just like an insane premised movie. I feel like almost any movie that takes place in a plane that isn't Air Force One is usually ridiculous.
Air Force One, which
is totally possible.
You're right. Knowing
that's not ridiculous at all, and actually very good. And no one trash it, or I'll come after you.
Knowing's a plane movie because it has a plane.
And
movie.
There's another one too that's not on my list, but I'm going to mention another plane Nick Cage movie.
Exactly.
You know. All right. Sorry, cut you off, Ken Jack. What's up next?
Number three for me is Wind Talkers, and this is for no reason other than me and my brothers used to watch a fuck ton of World War II movies, and this was like the only one that like took place in the Pacific at the time that wasn't a billion years old with like John Wayne in it, and we used to watch the shit out of it all the time, and we thought it was like super cool. And then I watched it again, like, I don't know, we had only watched it in 2002-ish, and then we watched it again like in 2011, and we're like, wow, this fucking sucks ass. Number two, National Treasure. not much more you can say about it other than it's probably the best Nick Cage role like ever. Like, the probably like one of the best treasure hunt movies of all time. If you take out Nick Cage and you put in like, I don't want to say McConaughey because I think he did Sahara that same year, which is a similar concept and sucked ass. But if you put in like a really good actor, I feel like that movie gets a lot more hype than it currently gets. Number one, I have The Rock, which was a fucking awesome movie.
Great movie.
Nothing else to say. Yep. Nothing else to say about it other than it's fucking great and everyone should see it.
Great soundtrack too.
My five, I left one off the list. It's called Left Behind. That's the other plane movie. It's about the Rapture.
Yeah. Oh, it's a remake of a Kirk Cameron movie.
Yeah. Oh, he was in that? Because I knew that was like a book series. My mom was always trying to get me to read. She's like, these are really good. You should read these.
I made my family watch it for Christmas a couple years ago.
which is even better that you watched it on Christmas, because I had to look it up earlier because I always mix that one up with Knowing because of the plane.
Right.
And just because it has a similar type vibe to it, but it's described as a 2014 American Christian apocalyptic thriller film, which I just love.
I mean, just like Showgirls. Just like
Showgirls. trying to get that Madoff money back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll run through mine quick because most of mine have been named. Number five, Con Air. Con Air is one of those – it defines the it's on TV, you got to watch it type movies, that TNT, TBS type movie. Raising Arizona, that's just a good movie if you like Coen Brothers movies. And it's a great role. It's actually one of those roles where – okay – chill out, like Nick Cage, like he's great here. The Wicker Man, number three for me, and this is for meme reasons, because not the bees and just all the lines in this movie are, they'll live on forever. Number two, Kick-Ass. I'm a huge fan of the movie Kick-Ass and his role in that movie, and where he kind of like mocks himself as the corny dad. Love it. And I wish his character wouldn't have died either, but he's great in Kick-Ass. And then number one, again for the meme reasons, National Treasure. I can't hate on National Treasure. I'm going to steal a Declaration of Independence. It's not only badass, but leads to so many great jokes. So many great jokes that, for me, will never get old.
I'd like to throw in just a shout-out to Ghost Rider for the simple fact that he was in such good shape for the movie that there were rumors that Nick Cage, his abs were CGI'd to the point that the director debunks the rumor in the director's commentary on the DVD.
Love it. Love it. Respect Nick Cage. Yeah. And hey, speaking of superhero movies with Nick Cage, one of the best movies involving Nick Cage, and I've pinned for this documentary many times, it is The Death of Superman Lives, or I think that's what the documentary is called. It's a documentary about the Nick Cage Superman movie, which I still wish would get made one day because it sounds so ridiculous, yet so amazing.
We mention that every podcast because it's just such a that image of him in that super suit with the long hair. Just seared into my memory, and the longing of wanting Nick Cage in that role is just overwhelming.
And it's the part I like the most is when Tim Burton doesn't talk about it himself, but he alludes to the fact that he hated the Joel Schumacher Batmans, and you can see how passionate he was about the Nick Cage Superman. But one of his friends in the documentary actually says that Tim Burton mentioned how Joel Schumacher fucked up his Batman movies. And any issue I ever had with Tim Burton and Batman or anything, which it wasn't much at all, out the window, because I love that. And I wish we would have seen it. But hey, it inspired this whole Death of Superman plotline for Justice League, so it lives on a little bit.
Granted, a lot of his movies on Netflix, and I believe there are 13 of them, are directed to video, and most of them involve someone in his family being kidnapped. It's a lot like the Taken series. And he's usually driving a car to get them back, but I celebrate the whole catalog.
Nick Cage, we miss you. Come be in more movies and be Superman or something.
Well, I've got good news, because IMDb has 7 movies on the horizon for Nick Cage.
There we go.
He's got to get that money back.
Yeah, he got to get it.
The legend states that if you watch 16 hours of Nick Cage movies in a row, Nick Cage appears out of the television like The Ring. Just comes right out of it. So, like, you know, next time, like, just try it out. Be careful, though, because you never know which Nick Cage you're going to get.
True. So any last thoughts here, Zach, on movies, like any favorite movie of the year you want to discuss? And you don't have to say anything. And also definitely get into your whole podcast network and what you're doing, because, man, we mentioned it before with you, the podcast started. You got a lot going on right now.
Yeah. Everyone is lauded this movie, but a friend of mine brought it up today. The Big Sick. I don't know if anyone hasn't seen it. An actual good movie. And it's just like, it was my favorite movie that I saw this year. So. Big on that. In terms of the podcast network, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Jade Hoy. He was the producer for the True Hoop podcast at ESPN. They took away the podcast, they brought it back, and then they just tried to shackle it to make a long story short. And so he left ESPN. I joined up with this podcast company, Spotlight Media, who did a lot of comedy podcasts, but they want to do sports stuff as well. And so we've kind of just brought that brand to there, and we're branching out into like, we have some political stuff. We have a shoe podcast. We have a movie podcast coming out, maybe a couple of movie podcasts coming out, trying to basically just never stop podcasting. I think that's the goal. It's just
I love
constant stream of podcasting at all times. And so we've got some cool stuff out there already. The Basketball Friends is our best known one, which you find all these on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or any of those podcast feeds. We have BOMM, which is Black Opinion Mattered Monday, which is on its own separate feed, which is that's probably our best podcast, hosted by Amin El-Hassan and a couple other people on there. Big Star Wars fan. Love some Star Wars.
Might be on his pod at some point. I gotta get him on here. We've hung out with him at Star Wars Celebration Orlando. He is as big a Star Wars fan as it gets.
He's all in on that. And then the last one I'll plug is my own Talk Hoops with Zach Harper. That's I think everyone should subscribe to it. You don't have to listen to it. Just subscribe and leave a nice review.
I said it in the beginning of the pod. I think you do have one of the better Twitter handles. Talk Hoops is such a simple thing for someone in basketball.
Highly misleading as well, because I really hate talking about basketball on Twitter. I think it's the worst place to discuss anything that provides any kind of depth. So I really hate talking about basketball on Twitter, but that was the name. Talkhoops.net was the name of my website when I first started writing, and I got in on Twitter early and stole the whole Talkhoops thing.
It really is one of the worst things. Like, honestly, when LeBron finally leaves or retires from the Cavs, I'm just going to be happy that I don't have to argue with people about the basketball anymore. Every time I do it, I'm like, what did I just – I wasted every second of my life just now doing that. You're so spot on there.
One of the funny things to see, like, with the technology and, like, all the new media coming out is, you know, people start by, like, focusing on basketball or baseball, and then they, you know, branch out and get a podcast, and then they don't want to talk about it on Twitter anymore because it's like – I need to get paid if I'm going to be talking about my job.
Yeah.
So like, I think you see that a lot with like comedy writers is like Louis C.K. will post like eating a burrito today and he'll do that 20 times. Whereas like Dave from accounting will post the funniest fucking tweets I'll ever read. It's just like, I don't want to talk basketball. That's my job. I want to go on Twitter to get away from it. You know?
Right. I just want to tell dick jokes and like talk about Nick Cage. And that's all I really want to do. And when people are like, oh, why don't you stick to basketball? I was like, are you sticking to like fucking selling cars? Like, no, that's all you tweet about. Like, what are we doing here?
That's the weirdest part about Twitter is like for half of everybody, it's kind of like their workplace. And for the other half, it's like their playground. And you like get these like weird streams mixing where like some people are trying to do their jobs like news reporters. Like, can I have credit for this? And under that, you have like Boner Goku 420 being like, I love farts, and like has like 2,800 likes like next to it. But one of the best tweets on Twitter is who's the ESPN?
Buster Olney.
Buster Olney responding to someone, and their username is Sex Cauldron. And He goes, well, comma, at Sex Cauldron, actually so-and-so and so-and-so. Like, that's the best fucking example of this atrocious-ass website.
It's awful.
Stephen A. Smith had a really good one of those once.
It was Bibles and Blowjob 69.
That was it, yeah.
That was it, yeah.
And then after he tweeted it, he's like, do not respond to Bibles and Blowjob 69. It is a travesty. I did not verify him before responding. Like, yeah, no kidding. No kidding, man.
Oh man!
But seriously, follow Bibles and Blowjob 69. I'm sure.
Well, Zach, we appreciate you coming on here for Basketball Week.
I had a great time. Thank you, guys.
Hey, we appreciate you coming on. This was fun. You are welcome on anytime you want, and I'm sure we'll link up again in the future on some movies. Hold your breath because the vote is coming when this comes out for whose basketball team wins. So we're competitors for right now. So Zach, we appreciate you coming on. You can follow Zach at Talk Hoops. All the stuff you can find there. Please go to our TeePublic site. You can see some links. We're gonna have some new graphics up there, trying to pull you guys in to buy some new shirts. Our Ryan Gosling Goss God shirts. We have some maybe Chris Pratt shirts coming out soon. Some Christmas stuff maybe. We have some ideas churning. Jimmy D'Onofrio is pumping out some designs. So keep an eye on that. Please subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe to the pod. The more you do that, the higher we're up there in the rankings, and the more fun stuff like today and the other day with Tyler, we can do more guests and, hey, maybe some sponsors and more sex.
Jeff, I know some people say they don't look at the rankings, but, like, we absolutely look at the rankings.
Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, yeah,
like every hour. Like, yeah. And so the coolest thing you could ever do is to subscribe to the podcast, unsubscribe, and resubscribe.
It helped last week big time, too. I'm not kidding.
because we'll be sitting there, we'll be like, oh, look, we're up to 47 on TVs and movies, up from 62. Like, phenomenal. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, and hey, we people have seen it. We joked around looking for sponsors and stuff, and we're serious. We want to get going here and make this even bigger because people have enjoyed it, and you know we need the ability to do that. So again, a little heartfelt thank you to everyone, and the Disney stuff today when everyone interacting was hilarious. Loved it. So I assume we're gonna get more with the next one. Please go see Murder on the Orient Express and Daddy's Home 2. We will be reviewing both of those next week. I know, Zach. We went from a great movie today.
Oh my god,
what seemed to be bad movies. So see those before next week.
I just hope in Murder on the Orient Express, Johnny Depp looks at the camera and is like, looks like there's been a murder on the Orient Express.
And then I hope just Mel Gibson is just walking in the background of that.
This has been Light Camera Podcast. For Zach Harper, our guest, for Trill Bones and Ken Jack, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on our mini podcast on Sunday night. Boom, boom. I put it in the hoop like slam. I heard the crowd screaming, I'm jail. I swear that I'm telling you the facts, cause that's how I beat Shaq. Boom, boom. I put it in the hoop like slam. I heard the crowd screaming, I'm jail. I swear that I'm telling you the facts, cause that's how I beat Shaq. So check it out. I thought I had the lead, but then he started scoring mad points. Was he hitting all the shots? I knew there was a way that I could make it stop. I had a plan, I could change the pace. I said, yo, Shaq, you didn't tie your shoelace. Huh? He looked down, I stole the ball. I'm taking him to school now, watch me all. A three-pointer, nothing but net. Come on, Shaq, had enough yet? Down by two, I'm catching up. I guess you're getting nervous, cause you know what he loves. It's like, boom, boom, I put it in the hoop.